You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us for the next half hour of the program. We're going to talk about the news media and American evangelicalism. Well, the old news, of course, is that the media is hard on Christianity in America. Right. So what? But there's another side to this story, and that is the degree to which American evangelicals have courted the media, tried to use the media, have in some cases used it effectively, in other cases not so much, and become in some ways a product of the media that they so often decry as biased against them. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest, a journalist in Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org, and author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine, The Codependency of the Media and Evangelicals. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Why is it that when I turn on television, usually, I will see religious figures interviewed, but it's always either a fundamentalist, a liberal, or a seeker-sensitive Christian? It's always someone like the late Jerry Falwell, Catherine Jefferts Schori, or Joel Osteen.
Well, there are a few reasons for that. One is that all three of those individuals love working with the media, so they kind of seek out as much media contact as they can have. There's the fact that the media don't really get religion, so they think that they're covering the entire landscape of religious thought when they talk to, you know, like those three types of people. But more than anything, I think that the media and, say, those individuals that you just cited, they share a love for the culture and politics, and so they just work well together. They can talk, they can sort of use each other quite well.
Why doesn't the media, generally speaking, get religion?
It's a largely secular profession. There aren't that many people who are deeply religious who are in the profession, or at least that's my experience. And they are more—they do have a religion. It's just that their religion is politics, and so they really get politics, and that's what the media wants to cover all the time. And so they're interested in religion only insofar as it can help them understand politics, specifically.
The term evangelical, it has a theological definition, although that's eroding rather quickly.
Yeah.
It has a rather.
What is that definition?
Well, you know, no. The interesting thing, I interviewed Ted Haggard some years ago when he was president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and he had a three-part definition. He said, well, these are people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible is the Word of God, and that one must make a personal commitment of their lives to this Jesus Christ. But I've noticed in subsequent years that that definition has kind of been falling apart. Now it's just kind of, I feel good about Jesus. But it has a very robust political definition, especially among the media, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting because evangelical has always been a somewhat loose word. I mean, different people have a different definition for what it means. I mean, there obviously Lutherans would understand the term evangelical to be sort of a synonym for Lutheran, but that's not how it's used in the media. And then people who we associate with evangelicals, they come up with all sorts of definitions for it too. But clearly in the media, it's really just a political designation, and it's roughly correlated to a cultural conservative. And it was fascinating to watch the media struggle with evangelicals this last election cycle. The biggest story of the year was supposedly that evangelicals were going to flee the confines of the conservative movement and rush toward Obama and Democrats in general, and that we were told they were broadening their agenda. And then it turned out that actually of all the political groups out there, evangelicals were the least likely to be swayed by the Obama approach. And in fact, they voted roughly in line, I think, with what they did with Bush in his first run for office. So the media wanted that story to be true. They wanted, you know, after blaming evangelicals for the 2004 win of George Bush, which also wasn't really true, they wanted so desperately for this meme to be true that evangelicals were fleeing, and then they actually didn't really.
Okay, let's talk about the codependency between the media and evangelicals. You've talked a bit about how the media like to use certain evangelicals or technically non-evangelicals to shine a little light on the politics that they love so much. But how have evangelicals expressed their dependence upon the media?
Well, it's one thing that's very interesting about evangelicals, and I think this kind of goes into play with what your last, with what Professor Rast was just talking about, in the sense that they're ahistorical. They're very savvy about getting media attention for whatever the zeitgeist of the moment is. And so you saw actually, and Rick Warren did a brilliant job of this in this last election cycle. He figured out that the media wanted evangelicals to be broadening their agenda. And he just played it like a violin. He, you know, did that Saddleback civil forum where he had both Obama and McCain come and discuss various issues that had, you know, roughly nothing to do with religion, but sort of clouded in religious rhetoric, and had a little bit of discussion of that broadening of the evangelical agenda. And he ended up being one of the biggest stories of the election cycle. And he's so good at getting publicity for himself and his church and his books, and his book sales are evidence to how effectively he's done this. And once again, he did it. He just played the media really well. And so you see instances like that where evangelicals sort of figure out what the media want to hear, and they work with them to get the attention that they're looking for.
The interesting side story from that civil forum at Saddleback was the thing that stuck in the news cycle was that allegedly McCain was either in the building or not in the building, and Rick Warren had said something about no one hearing the questions in advance or hearing the others' responses.
Cone of silence.
Yeah, and it was this notion that somehow Rick Warren had fed the McCain campaign these questions in advance, or at least let them hear Obama's responses, when, as far as I could tell, Rick was really serious about keeping this thing as clean as possible. But it seemed as though the media had to find some way of saying, okay, it seems like he's broadening his agenda, but this is really all about McCain.
Right. And, of course, if Obama hadn't flubbed some of those questions miserably, as he did, then we would have been probably getting a lot of praise for how Saddleback and Rick Warren had handled everything, instead of hearing that that he hadn't really kept people in the cone of silence and whatnot.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's interesting that turned out. I was not a big fan of that civil forum, mostly because I thought it confused the two kingdoms. But it turned out that was actually one of the more interesting candidate forums out there. And who knew that he would be capable of asking some of the more insightful questions when you compare it with how the mainstream media did with their chances with the candidates.
Yesterday, we played some audio from an NPR interview with Richard Cizik, who is the chief lobbyist for the National Association of Evangelicals. And he's quite upfront that he does believe the agenda of evangelicalism politically and socially needs to be broadened. He even said that issues like abortion and the environment are equal in God's priorities, and they ought to be equal with evangelicals. What's happening here, Molly?
Well, I mean, he's been a huge proponent of broadening the, as they say, broadening. It's such a nice way to put it, broadening the evangelical agenda. And this is actually clearly something that is happening. And I think that if Obama hadn't been such a diehard abortion supporter, you would have actually seen many more evangelicals rush to support him, because it's clear that we're at a period in time where evangelicals are going to be going more toward their to liberal politics. And that is something that's happened, again, to kind of relate to what Professor Rast was just saying. Over time, throughout American history, evangelicals, whether they be on the left or the right, are largely doing the same thing. They're kind of trying to bring the kingdom here on earth. On the left, you see this in terms of, we need, you know, sounder environmental policy. We need to fight poverty, since that's what Jesus would do. He would use the government to fight poverty. And then on the right, you have people saying, well, we need to fight abortion or gay marriage. But both groups are largely, or they might say prayer in schools or something. Prayer is good. Why don't we have it in schools? But both groups are really motivated by the same agenda, which is, you know, the same evangelical agenda. And over time, this has always happened where you see evangelicals going left or going right. And, you know, people are right, I think, to predict that the evangelical right is going to be losing power. It's just not hip or cool right now to be an evangelical on the right. It's really cool to be an evangelical on the left. And it's kind of hard for some people to withstand that pressure. And so I think you will see more movement that way, and Cizik is a great example of that, and he's been pushing hard. I mean, I haven't really seen him do altogether that much on the abortion issue, but he's definitely been pushing environmentalism for years.
What does it say when the news media can, with a straight face, refer to Senator Brownback, a Roman Catholic, or Richard John Newhouse, a Roman Catholic, as evangelicals?
I love that. Yes, Time had a list of the top 25 evangelicals in America, and they cited a number of Roman Catholics, which was just hilarious because, you know, Roman Catholics don't usually—I mean, there are some Roman Catholics who self-identify as evangelicals. Richard John Newhouse is not one of them, of course, and it just proves the point that for the media, evangelical is not a religious designation. It does refer to religious people, but it refers to their politics. And if their politics are on the right, they will get called evangelicals.
All right. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway on the news media and American evangelicalism. Something we haven't touched on yet is the whole emergent movement. Brian McLaren, another, well, a minor darling of the news media, brought in to discuss matters, weighty matters of some gravity from time to time. I imagine if we are not going to see more of Brian McLaren, we'll certainly see more of the emergent leaders there. This is, at least my way of thinking, an evangelical left. But have they captured the agenda? Is the fact that young evangelicals are voting, although they be pro-life, voting for Senator Barack Obama to be president of the United States and willing to weigh other issues like the life issue equally? Does this mean evangelicalism is moving more in a direction amenable to the media's bias? We'll be right back.
You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Lisa Schilling, Pastor Kenneth Hahn, Samuli Ruhola, Karen Jansen, Kate Huffman, Diane Buchholz, Gary Zimmerman, Steve Bliss, Peggy Thomas, and Ryan Holiday. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest for the next 10 minutes of the program, at least this first hour, then in the second hour of the program. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us from the Ruth Institute to talk about a new study on American teens lying, cheating, stealing, all three, sometimes all three at once. Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org and author of the book Pop Goes Religion will join us to talk about a new leader of the Orthodox Church in America, very quickly ascended leader, in fact, and media coverage of religion. And then Reverend Canon Daryl Fenton will join us from the Anglican Communion Network. We'll talk about a formation of a new Anglican church body in North America. It's about time, if you ask me. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Molly, would the media, or actually their evangelical counterparts for that matter, recognize a confessional Christian church or a confessional viewpoint if they saw one?
I doubt it, and it's not really that surprising. I mean, what in the world would the media have to do? What interest could they possibly have in covering a confessional church body, an unchanging church with a message for a changing world? Confessional church bodies sort of fail to generate headlines. We don't change every year our approach. We don't modify the Word of God or our approach with regard to the sacraments, depending on whatever's happening, you know, in the worlds of Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and whatnot. I mean, it could not be of less interest to the media.
What is so incomprehensible to the media or to evangelicals about this thing?
I think that to a large part, confessional church bodies, I mean, they're sacramental, they're liturgical, they're focused on heavenly life more than, not that they're not also focused on earthly life, but eternal life is sort of the goal of everything that's happening in the church. And like I mentioned before, the media just love politics. Everything's about politics. That's the religion. And if you're a confessional church body and you think it's more, you know, you think people's salvation is more important than H.R. 1351, the bill to, you know, dealing with tire pressure, that's just not going to interest the media as much.
Let's talk a bit about the, I suppose we could call it an offshoot of evangelicalism and their relationship with the media. The emergent movement. You write that if the term evangelical is a meaningless term, emergent takes the inscrutability to a whole new level. Why is this?
Well, I mean, there really is. It's a meaningless term. It's completely postmodern. It's a lot about whatever the sort of aesthetic of evangelicalism is, but trying to sort of discard all of the baggage that people don't like about it. I mean, if you read Brian McLaren or any of the other big emergent thinkers, I mean, they'll write entire books about emergent theology, and you have absolutely no idea what they actually believe on any single point of doctrine. And so it's really, you know, even you cited Ted Haggard's definition of evangelical, which I'm actually kind of surprised is one of the better ones I've heard. You know, it's a very simple definition, but at least there's something there to work with, whereas emergent is sort of anything you want it to be. There's not one single thing, not even dealing with, you know, the divinity of Christ that is actually required in any certain emergent thinking. And yet this is what's being embraced by a, you know, pretty big swath of evangelicalism. And also, interestingly, a lot of the mainstream churches who are hemorrhaging members are also trying to grasp onto this movement.
To what degree is this a two-way street? That is, the more the average evangelical congregation or pastor sees those voices that are being presented by the media as representative of Christianity in America, whether or not they're representative or not, they say, well, if these are the people who are getting the attention and the camera time, then we need to go that direction too.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, if you think about, you know, we talked about how confessional church bodies are unchanging and they present this sort of unchanging image no matter how the world changes over hundreds of years. It's always going to be the same, you know, general approach that you see in a confessional church body. Evangelicalism and, you know, to see the most recent example of that, the emergent church, are just the opposite of that. It's all about, you know, there's huge turnover in, you know, non-denominational and evangelical communities. And so it's all about keeping things fresh, keeping things exciting. And so you do have to use what the media tells you is hip and hot and new and now in order to keep freshening things up and keep people excited. And you have to constantly be changing your worship style and your approach to doctrine to see whatever it is that the kids want right now. And so I think it's definitely a two-way street that way.
People see Joel Osteen when he's selling a new book on virtually every cable talk show that exists. And they say, look, hey, you might have some quibbles with Joel Osteen, what he preaches, but there's influence. Maybe this is even Christian witness. How do you respond?
Well, there's definitely influence and there's definitely witness. And I have watched a lot of Joel Osteen in my time and read a lot of what he said, and I have yet to find anything distinctly Christian about it. You know, there's something very moralistic about it. And there's a lot of law there, which is a big component of religion. There's just nothing specifically gospel oriented. There's nothing specifically Christian. And again, particularly in this time that we're in right now, you're not really allowed to say anything specific if you want to get media time. You're not going to get on the airwaves and get all the major media interviews if you're saying something as, you know, exclusionary as Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, that's no way to win friends among the media when half of them don't believe that, or, you know, a majority of them don't believe that. And so Osteen does a great job of getting media coverage, in large part because he presents a very milquetoast, bland, and vague, you know, feel-good moralism that, ironically, is ultimately very feel-bad, since you can't ever get your best life now through your own effort and whatnot. But, I mean, that is a match made in media heaven, Osteen and the major media.
Finally, then, how much of this is, I guess I have no other word than nostalgia, a desire for that time when culture and church perhaps got along a little better than they do now, before the culture wars, evangelicals simply saying, we want to be liked again?
Yeah, that would be... I mean, it's kind of interesting when you look at sort of maybe the heyday of media and religion getting along, which would probably be in the 50s. There was very little discussion in the media in that era of any particular religious doctrines, and everyone sort of saw themselves as, you were either an American Christian or an American Protestant, an American Catholic, or an American Jew, but we were all American, and we all generally had the same ideas about, you know, fighting the war and getting the bad guys. And it was a very peaceful time, and it would be hard not to be nostalgic for the way religion was treated during that era, which was very positively, although it was never discussed in depth. And so it is very hard and difficult to day after day be attacked for your beliefs. And when you think about what happened in 2004, where the mainstream media blamed the election that they couldn't believe went the way it did. They blamed everything on evangelicals, and they portrayed them as these, like, pointy-hatted, hateful, horrible people who just are out to destroy all fun and enjoyment. You know, it's a very hard thing to deal with that day after day. The media is very strong and ever-present and very powerful, and it is a hard thing to withstand. And, I mean, it's hard not to sympathize with people who are changing. In light of that, it's just that hopefully the Word of God is more important than how the media feels about you.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org. She's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine, The Codependency of the Media and Evangelicals. You'll find a link to GetReligion.org under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Molly, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the program, a pastor's roundtable on the Lord's Prayer, second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. Our guest, Pastor Michael Cum of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, Pastor Tim Ostermeyer of Hope Lutheran in St. Anne, Missouri, and Pastor Jim Remke of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. That's our pastor's roundtable. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll deal with the part of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. We'll talk with her about a new study on American teens. They're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing. My goodness, what's going to become of this generation? Terry Mattingly, also of GetReligion.org, will be our guest. The Orthodox Church in America has elevated a new leader rather quickly, but he has some ideas, some harsh criticism of his own church body. We'll see what's going on with Axios. That's his name, as he's been elevated to primate of the Orthodox Church in America. And we'll also talk about media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. He writes a weekly on religion column for the Scripps Howard News Service. And then Reverend Canon Daryl Fenton will join us of the Anglican Communion Network. We'll discuss the formation of a new Anglican church body for North America. That's all there in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you Wednesday, December the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.